Hi, I'm Jeff Siegel, and if you want more information on drinklocalwine.com, you can go to our website at drinklocalwine.com.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there. This is Andreas Larson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandavi, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of VinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
We talk a lot about local wines on Wine and Dine. Really, no matter where you live in the world, the best wines truly are not ones that are being shipped by boat or airplane clear across the world, but the ones that are made in your backyard. Joining us today on Wine and Dine is Jeff Siegel, otherwise known as the Wine Curmudgeon. He's joining us from his home in Dallas to talk about the Drink Local Wine Conference that's going to be held in Denver this year, April 27th through 29th. There is a lot going on. We're going to continue this conversation for a couple of weeks with different guests from different regions around the United States. Jeff, thank you so very much for joining us today. And let me ask you, what wine did you have for dinner last night, or what are you going to have for dinner tonight?
It's funny. First off, Lynn, it's always a pleasure to do this. And it's good to see that there are people out there who care about what we're doing and are so passionate about it as you are. And you ask about what wine I'll be having today. And oddly enough, a friend of mine in the Texas wine business is coming over to the house this afternoon. And we're going to do a tasting of Texas wine. So I guess we timed this perfectly, didn't we?
Oh, fantastic. Is your friend a winemaker or a retailer or another writer?
Oh, he's a distributor, a fellow named John Bratcher here in Texas, and John and I like to taste wine together.
So John Bratcher, a wholesale distributor, he actually distributes wholesale Texas wines?
He's a broker, yeah. One of his jobs is to convince retailers and restaurants to buy Texas wine, correct?
Isn't it funny? I mean, I live in North Carolina, and I'm not in the Piedmont area where the majority of the wineries are, but I'm just amazed at the lack of representation and support. You know, you see some, where I'm at, you see some of the bigger names, but there's just so much more that could be done, and I don't understand why retailers and restaurateurs are not putting that two and two together.
Well, one of the things that we try to do with Drink Local Wine, and what we do every year with the conference in particular, is to educate not just consumers about local wines, but about why it's sometimes difficult to find local wines.
Yeah.
Because as you just noted, the three-tier system and the way the wine and beer and liquor distribution is set up in the United States, it's very difficult for small wineries of any kind, whether they're in France or California or Italy, to get distribution in the United States, and it's doubly difficult for small regional wineries.
Wow.
And that's just a function of the way the system is set up.
How did you guys go about picking Denver as the host city for this year's Drink Local Wine Conference? April 27th through 29th, that's going to be a fantastic time to be in Denver, but there's a lot of winemaking that's going on in the mountain region.
Well, there is, and we try every year to go. This will be our fourth annual conference, and we try every year to go to an important state. We've done Texas, Virginia, and Missouri last year, and we went to Denver this year to do Colorado wines for a couple of different reasons, one of which is because it's unique. There's nothing like it in the United States, certainly, and there's almost nothing like it in the world because they grow grapes at altitude. And that's, mm-hmm. other than some places, maybe in Arizona, maybe in Argentina, that's unique to anywhere in the world. And that gives the wines a certain distinction that they're not going to have anyplace else. And the other of which is that Denver, in particular, is a very good local food, local wine city. Doug Caskey of the Colorado Wine Board has done a great job lining up support for us. He's been a pleasure to work with. And the people in Denver are excited about our coming. I did a media event there in January, and I just, you know me a little bit, Lynn, and I'm a cranky ex-newspaper man, and I was just absolutely stunned and surprised to see how excited the people in Denver are about doing this and about how they see the relationship between local food and local wine.
There's so much tourism that takes place in Colorado and Denver. It makes sense that the product gets higher and higher in quality, that they would be pouring homegrown wines. I've never tasted a Colorado wine. What kind of wines are grown in Colorado?
Mostly vinifera, which are the European-style wines.
Okay.
They're lucky in that they've got good growing seasons, particularly, as I say, at altitude, because, once again, without getting to a really technical subject and boring people to death, you get a lot of sunlight,
yes.
And grapevines like sunlight. But the white grape that they seem to have had a lot of success with over the years is Riesling, and there's been some very nice Colorado Rieslings.
Okay.
Also a little bit of Viognier, which is a grape from southern France. And the red grape seems to be, and there's a lot of still searching and argument going on, because you know how wine people like to argue.
Yeah.
But it looks like Cabernet Franc may turn out to be a really good red grape for Colorado.
Oh, that kind of makes sense, though. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because, you know, it's cooler because
yes.
of the elevation, and,
yeah.
and those are the, except for the Viognier, but that's a different story. But Riesling likes cool weather.
So I see that there's going to be a Twitter taste-off. Talk to us about that. And so I'm guessing, is that kind of geared towards people who cannot physically be there at the event?
No, actually, I'll run through it. The 27th and the 29th are actually events for with the media that we've got coming. The public part of the event is on April 28th at Metro State College in Denver. And we've got some seminars about Colorado wine in the morning. We've got, for the first time ever, we're going to do a blind challenge at lunchtime.
Saw that.
And what we've got is three wine experts, two people who it'll be hosted by Wayne Belding, who's one of the leading MSs in the United States, and we've got three wine experts who are going to taste California wine and Colorado wine blind.
Oh my gosh, you guys have to videotape it.
And well, we're going to do it in front of an audience, because I'm a firm believer that wine tasting should be a spectator sport. And they're going to talk and see if they can tell the difference between the wines. These will be similar wines at similar prices.
Okay.
They're going to talk and see if they can tell the difference between the wines. And we'll have an audience tasting along with them. And then after that, we'll do our Twitter taste-off, and we'll have 24 Colorado wineries on hand, each pouring a red and a white, or two wines. And people, as they taste the wines, will tweet about them, or you know, make a blog post or whatever they want to do. And that way, you can follow what's going on around the country.
Okay.
Around the world. Last year in Missouri, we had discussions going on about some of the Missouri wines literally around the country, literally in foreign countries as the taste-off was going on.
Oh my gosh, that must be thrilling to watch.
Well, I have to tell you, as once again a cranky ex-newspaper man who started out with typewriters and carbon paper, who thought that the Twitter taste-off was a dumb idea and would never work, I'm absolutely flabbergasted and just amazed at how much fun it is and how much people enjoy it. And I want to just mention a guy's name, Russ Kane, who does a blog called Vintage Texas, did our first Twitter taste-off for us in Texas 4 years ago. And I don't know that he's the guy who invented the concept, but he's done a lot in Texas especially to refine it so that it works as well as it does. And it's been a really good tool for us in getting the word out about regional wine.
Do you think that this Twitter tasting, because I know other events are using Twitter tastings as well, do you think it's speaking to a different, a younger demographic, a younger audience, or not necessarily?
Well, I think a couple of different things. The future of regional wine is, I'm a baby boomer. I'm not the future of regional wine. My generation learned how to drink wine from the top down. We
yes.
were told what to drink. We were told we had to drink French wine. We were told we had to drink Chardonnay and Cabernet.
Yeah.
And the two generations younger than I am, they are a little more open-minded about this. They don't necessarily know who Robert Parker is, and they don't care. They're much more willing to try different things and to be adventurous. And that's the future of regional wine. People are willing to take a chance. The joke we have at Drink Local Wine, Lynn, which you'll probably hear if you talk to some other people involved with it over the next couple of weeks, is that most people in the United States, or too many people in the United States, know they don't have to drink local wine without even having to taste it, because they already know it's bad.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And younger people, they don't have that mindset. You put a glass of wine in front of them, they'll taste it. They're more likely to taste it first before they judge it.
That's interesting. Well, and that all makes sense as well. What is this regional wine seminars that are going on at the
conference? We're going to do three seminars for the conference on Saturday morning. We're going to do a seminar about local food and local wine, which is something we always do, and talk about how they work together and so forth. We're going to do a seminar about the terroir of Colorado, what I was talking about with the altitude, and how that affects the kinds of wines that are made. And then this year we're going to do something new. We're going to have a panel of Colorado wine drinkers, and we're going to talk about consumer perceptions of Colorado wine and regional wine and what real consumers think about it, and not just distributors or wineries or wine writers.
And where are you getting these consumers from? Are they already lined up?
I'm pretty sure we have them lined up. We've actually been looking for about 3 months to find some people who have the time to do it, who drink wine and feel comfortable talking on a panel about it. Because I'm sure you know too, Lynn, you get most people talking about wine and in front of an audience, and they'll go, well, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's really, you're really putting yourself out there.
Exactly, and they're afraid people will make fun of them and things like that. But I think we've got three really good people, and we're just about to announce that.
Okay, real quick, what is the cost for being involved in the Drink Local Wine Conference?
It's $65 all day. It's $35 if you just want to come to the seminars on lunch in the morning, or $35 if you just want to go to the Twitter Taste Off in the afternoon. And tickets are available at drinklocalwine.com.
And if media want to learn more, they can connect with you also through drinklocalwine.com?
Exactly, drinklocalwine@gmail.com.
This is always a pleasure to talk to you, Jeff Siegel. Thank you so very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynn. It's always one of my favorite things to do is talk to you about regional wine.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
Hello, I'm Richard Leahy, author of RichardLeahy.com, a blog focusing on the wines of the East, specifically Virginia, New York, and other regions east of the Rockies. RichardLeahy.com/blog.